40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Steve Kathan. Albuquerque's Democratic mayor calls it radicalism. A Republican candidate who ran and lost last fall in New Mexico is now accused in several shootings. CBS's Skylar Henry has more on what authorities are saying.
A SWAT team took 39-year-old Solomon Pena into custody. Police called him the mastermind behind a series of shootings targeting the homes of four local Democratic officials that began in December.
Solomon Pena reached out and contracted someone for an amount of cash money to commit at least two of these shootings.
Pena has a criminal history. Lawmakers in New Mexico tried to bar him from running for the state house seat after he served prison time for burglary and larceny convictions.
No one was injured in those shootings. A major cleanup's going on in parts of California ravaged by flooding and mudslides. CBS's Jared Hill.
The danger of flooding and mudslides in California continues, even with drier days on tap this week. President Biden is now set to tour the damage on the ground Thursday.
Memphis police say officers involved in the case of a black man who died after being taken into custody after a traffic stop will face discipline. CBS's Elise Preston spoke to family members who want them arrested.
What do you want from Memphis police today?
We need your videos, your body cams, any type of video of the incident. Released. We want justice. We want the officers to be charged with murder. We don't want them to just get fired.
The truth is going to come out.
Attorney Ben Crump is representing the family.
If you have nothing to hide, why not release the video?
A memorial service for Tyree Nichols is getting underway now. Suspects are sought in the shooting in Fort Pierce, Florida, that left one person dead, seven others wounded at an MLK Day event. Police official Brian Hester says it's thought it was a shootout involving rival gangs.
It's really unfortunate, and it's sad that during a celebration of someone who represented peace and equality, that a disagreement results in a use of guns and violence.
A Pentagon official confirms training of Ukrainians to operate and maintain Patriot missile batteries began this morning at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. There are calls to stop an offshore wind project now that seven whales have washed up dead in New York and New Jersey. Environmentalist Cindy Zipf.
Stop all of the sonar, stop all of the pre-construction activity offshore right now until we can determine whether or not that has had any impact or any part of the cause for all these whales washing up.
Right now on Wall Street, the Dow is down 360 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual. And
a progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Republicans want to put bail on statewide ballots in April. The state Senate takes up the advisory referendum bill today. The proposed constitutional amendment would give Wisconsin judges more leeway in setting bail for dangerous defendants. The amendment is one of at least two proposed advisory questions seen as a way to drive voter turnout for conservatives running for state Supreme Court. A Texas brewery is canceling a scheduled rally featuring Kyle Rittenhouse. The Illinois man was acquitted of homicide charges in Wisconsin related to the Kenosha riots of 2020. Officials with Southern Star Brewing say the so-called rally against censorship doesn't reflect their values. Rittenhouse says he's disappointed. In sports, the Bucks host Toronto tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Halloween Day, Scream Face. Bloody Mary, Secondary, Jordan, Mean Face. A-Rod got a mouth side, free play.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today during the 1 o'clock hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And so now, we're going to talk about Packers this hour. And so for now, we're going to end this season with where we started it when it comes to Packers pundits. And we have welcomed back one of the most popular, one of the funniest, the one... the only Aaron Nagler, founder of Cheesehead TV, is back with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. And so, you know, it was a roller coaster since the last time we had you on the show back in September.
It's been a minute.
And
no
I
doubt.
Think we used our conversation for one of our promos for a while, where I asked you, why are we so bad at the season opener? And you laughed. And then we proceeded to be bad at a lot of games over
just,
the season.
They're right, yeah. It wasn't just the opener this time.
Just the opener. So I guess in your, you've written a lot about this, a lot. You have talked about it a lot and all the different segments that Cheesehead TV puts out, which if you've not checked out Cheesehead TV, definitely do that. But how would you sum up this season?
Well, you can't say anything other than it was a massive disappointment.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you came into this season both, I think, as an organization and definitely as a fan base, expecting at least some kind of run, something that would resemble a contender. And this team was anything but. The only thing they did consistently was make things as hard as possible on themselves, week in and week out, game in and game out. Clearly, there's a lot to kind of unpack when you look at not just the loss of Davante Adams in the trade, what they did in the draft, and the kind of team they built heading into this season. But then you have their approach on both sides of the ball. You have Aaron Rodgers fracturing his thumb and playing through it for a good, you know, stretch of the season. And then you have the kind of the tease, I guess you'd call it, at the end of the season, where you get that four-game winning streak and you think, okay, they're figuring it out and they're playing their best ball against the Vikings. And you think, all right, this is the proverbial team nobody wants to face heading into the playoffs. And then they lay a gigantic egg against the Lions and really kind of reverted to form in that game. I don't think anyone was under any illusions, even when they were winning those games towards the end of the year, that this team was anything but flawed. I'm going to be a lot of soul searching, I think, at 1265 Lombardi this offseason, because there were a lot of assumptions made, I think, heading into 2022 that turned out not to be the case. And they can only look inward for that kind of coming up, the way they came up short so spectacularly.
And so it doesn't sound, in what you just said, it doesn't sound like you necessarily think there was one thing. It wasn't just the coaching. Just the gelling of the team.
It'd be easy if that was the case, right? If it ever was, if it ever is, that it makes it a lot easier to kind of diagnose and know what you're supposed to do going forward, whether as an organization, the coaching staff, what have you. But yeah, no, there were definitely layers to this thing. And, you know, now they're in this moment where they have to wait for Aaron Rodgers to make whatever decision he's going to make. And they put themselves in this position last offseason when they recommitted to him. You know, and I got to say, you look back at this season, the disappointment it was, where they were as a franchise last offseason seemed like, and many people thought, was the perfect time to kind of turn the page, so to speak. But they've recommitted to Aaron, And now they're pretty much at his mercy. If he wants to come back, I suspect he'll be back. And we'll probably see maybe a bit better kind of result, right? Again, he did play injured for much of the season. But I think we'll probably be here next offseason having a pretty similar conversation, watching a movie that ends pretty much the same way.
Ugh. Well, and Aaron, we don't actually expect Aaron Rodgers to show up like for training camp and stuff, do we?
Yeah, there it is. Well, training camp, yes. Training camp, he'll be there. But yeah, the off seasons. Look, here, somebody in my Twitter mentions said something I thought was pretty funny. And somewhat, you know, most good jokes have an ounce of truth in them. You know, you got to think Jordan Love is sitting here going, what in the hell do I have to do to get on the field? I mean, to sit for a fourth year as a backup, which essentially is what the Packers will most likely end up asking him to do. I wouldn't be surprised if both of their quarterbacks don't want to come to OTAs. You know, they are voluntary. The off-season stuff is a voluntary activity outside of the minicamp portion, which is basically an extended weekend. If I'm Jordan Love and Rodgers does come back, I wouldn't be surprised if his camp says, okay, we want to trade. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the Packers have to do that. I suspect they wouldn't. I suspect they'd say, look, we have control. We can pick up your fifth-year option and have you under contract for two more years. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, though, because that is a dynamic that we never really had to deal with back when they made the transition from Favre to Rodgers, because on that third year, they finally did ship Brett out. The difference, of course, is that Brett wanted out, you know, and you know, that he was angling to get to Minnesota. Aaron has made it abundantly clear that he wants to retire as a Packer. He has said it over and over again. He said it again last summer. I mean, that has been his goal, is to retire and play for the same team, which I think is awesome. It's very cool. It's a very rare thing in today's kind of sports landscape, especially professionally. But man, it ties the Packers' hands with that contract that they signed him to. And now, like I said, you're facing probably a disgruntled former first round pick who can't get on the field.
We're talking to Cheesehead TV co-founder Aaron Nagler, wrapping up the season, maybe making some predictions for next season. But I guess the thing with Aaron is, like, I watched that last game against the Lions, not whether it was stupidly or whatever. I didn't watch it thinking, oh, this could be his last game, until the interaction with him and Cobb at the end of the game. And I was like, oh, crap. Did I just not have the, like, emotional intelligence to realize that this could have been the last time? Did you have that at all watching that game?
You know, it's funny because we had discussed it on Cheesehead TV the week leading up, right? And every time someone tried to bring it up on my daily chats, I kind of shot it down because I just, you know, you don't want to, like, kind of view it through that prism, right? It's just a game. You've got to win. And all the other stuff, you've got all offseason to talk about it, right? So I pushed it down. But I'm with you. I didn't really think about it during the game, but I certainly was thinking about it on that final drive, watching the offense come up short yet again, and then seeing Aaron put his arm around Randall Cobb, another player who's absolutely been a wonderful Green Bay Packer and absolutely represents everything the Packers organization is and should be about. To watch the two of them walk down that tunnel together and kind of have it hit you might be the last time we see both those guys on Lambeau Field. That's a bit, I'm not gonna say a gut punch, but it's definitely a water to the face moment.
And it was kind of, because, you know, there's so much rhetoric around how, for lack of a better term, because we don't have that much time left, annoying Aaron Rodgers has been on his off-field antics. And so, but also, like, to kind of feel like, oh, the haircuts and the ayahuasca and everything, but then still feeling, for me, that nostalgia of, oh, shoot, maybe this is it. And so, but as you said, we now are in the offseason. So if you, Aaron Nagler, were the GM.
Oh, boy.
What would you do this offseason?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's hard given the contract they gave Aaron. Trading him, I really don't think is a viable option, because no team is really trading for that contract. Now, he could do stuff to kind of help out there, but they're still going to have to take a cap hit, blah, blah, blah. I just don't see that happening. I think they're kind of, and if I were GM, your hand is kind of tied here. I suspect, I welcome Aaron back if he wants to play. Maybe if I want to get creative and I'm Mark Murphy, or if I'm the GM, I go to Mark Murphy and say, can we maybe, because the Packers did this back in the day with Brett, you know, offer him some kind of marketing deal to retire. If I'm the GM, I'm trying to push that. I want Jordan Love on the field. It is time to turn the page, in my eyes. So I say to Mark Murphy, can we offer him a 10-year, $100 million marketing deal to retire? And then get Jordan Love on the field and start the next kind of chapter. I mean, personal appearances, things in and around the team.
Just play to his ego. Play to his ego. Yeah, He'll be right there.
You're banking on exactly what you were just talking about. Talking about the connection with the team, the nostalgia with the fans, and everybody thanking him and wanting to be a part of everything he did for this organization. And look, you know, it's hard. It's always going to be hard when you transition away from an absolute legend, a first ballot Hall of Famer. But man, this 3 years in a row, we've watched this same movie with the same ending. It is time. I want to go see a new movie.
Yeah.
I want to start building something. And that's the other thing. The sooner you get Jordan Love on the field, the sooner he can start developing and getting better. And you can find out, well, if he's not the answer, then we know we have to go and find somebody else. But man, we being the Packers, keep hanging on, thinking we're going to find some other result here. If they were going to do it, they would have done it probably in 2020 or 2021. So for myself, if you're asking what I would do, that's the direction I would try to go. I mean, who really knows? But I think it's past time to turn that page.
And then what is Joe Barry's fate? You think we're going to change up the defensive coordinator? And
I don't, actually. Okay. And I understand why Packers fans want him gone. I think there's ample kind of ammunition there, right? But look, Matt LaFleur moved on from Mike Pettine to go get his guy. And that is definitely Joe Barry. And I keep referencing this, but if people go back and watch the end of that Miami game on the game sealing interception by Rasul Douglas, Fox's cameras pan or cut to Matt LaFleur and Joe Barry on the sideline. And Matt LaFleur gives him a monster hug. And it was like, kind of at that moment, I'm like, all right, yeah, Joe Barry isn't going anywhere. Like, that's his guy, you know? And look, Joe Barry has his faults. They are laid bare for all to see pretty much week by week. But, you know, I somewhat begrudgingly have some respect for Matt in the sense of, look, I'm not just going to jettison this guy after 2 years just because, yes, we had some struggles and we certainly aren't where we want to be. But they did play well enough to win in a bunch of games this year where the offense just never showed up, including the winner go home game against the Detroit Lions. So I understand Matt's thinking of, I don't want to overturn my staff every other season. I want to build some continuity here. Now, do they have to be better? No question about it. And that is on Matt. There are no more excuses, right? Like, there was the whole, like, Mike Pettine was kind of forced on him and tried to make that work. Well, then that didn't work. So he went to go get his guy. And now you gave him a little bit of a grace period. But man, I'm telling you, in 2023, it is all on Matt LaFleur because he has seemingly made it clear that this is his squad and this is who he wants to roll with on his coaching staff.
Aaron, can we please keep Mason Crosby? Just because I like him so much.
Why do you make me say these things that are going to get people upset? Because could they? Yeah, but will they? I doubt it. I mean, the man is a legend. He's an all-time Packer. No doubt. I mean, he's going to walk into the Packers Hall of Fame. I love Mason. You respect everything he's done for the franchise. But you are making him one of the more highly paid kickers in the league, and he can't kick it consistently into the end zone on kickoffs. You know, or you need a winner-go-home kick, and Mason's been money, but routinely in the league now, you have guys hitting 60-yarders, and that's not Mason.
All right.
And I know it's Wisconsin in January.
We got to wrap up. Mr. Aaron Nagler, thank you so much for taking time out of your day today. We will talk more in the offseason. Check out Cheesehead TV. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for Talk is Over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 38. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 31 tonight. Cloudy skies. Overcast again tomorrow. High of 35. Mid-30s Thursday with a chance for mixed precipitation. Low 30s, cloudy Friday. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
On the Civic Media Network. He's so fun.
He really is.
He's very good at
it. I wish we could talk to him more often.
I know. Well, maybe now that's the off season. I don't know. We ran out of time, but I was going to ask him, what do you guys do now? Just write a bunch of things of like the predictions of what's going to happen in the off season?
Yeah, you dissect all last season and then you wait till August and you start looking forward.
Yeah. But what a fun job.
Yeah. Right. And well, and what an amazing thing he and his co-creator created.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, it's the time of the show. It's kind of a moving segment, but we're trying to do this every day this month. The 100 ways to slightly improve your life without really trying, which is a list that was published by The Guardian. And each day we're going through around five of these suggestions and kind of giving our feedback on what feels reasonable to incorporate into our lives and what we're just not going to do.
It's not going to happen.
Like, did you take a cold shower this morning, Jane?
No. I did take a shower, and actually...
You did take a shower.
I did take a shower, and I did actually think about it, and then I thought, I'm in my nice warm shower. Why would I turn on cold water?
I think that is part of it. I don't even like getting out of the shower when it's cold and making that transition from the hot shower to the air.
To the chilly air.
Let alone choosing to put cold water on myself. Yeah. And so...
No, not doing it.
That one, I don't know. Maybe. But all right. So we are on to number 46 through 50. Number 46. Read a poem every day, such as a poem. Keep that poem book. They suggest a poem for every day of the year. Just keep it by your bed.
That's nice. They don't have to be, you know, they're not all going to be multi-pages long.
No, some poems
are. Some really short ones.
A poem for every day of the year.
That's nice.
Yeah. I could get on board with that.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not doing so well on my goal of reading before bed instead of scrolling.
No.
Before bed, no.
You got to find the right book.
I think, yeah. I need if you have suggestions on good novels, because I feel like most of the books I'm usually drawn to, big shock, are nonfiction books. But I feel like before bed, it's better to read a novel. So if you have suggestions of good books to read before bed, 844-967-2789.
To help you go to sleep.
To help you go to sleep, yeah. Just a good narrative. All right, number 47. Take out your headphones when walking. Listen to the world. This is a big Jane one.
I've been pushing this for a long time.
I've been better at that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Do you think it makes a difference? Or are you just bored now that you're not listening to your podcast?
It makes a difference. I would say I would say it leaves more room for reflection if I'm not listening to Civic Media, whatever's airing when we're
right.
not on.
I think
go download the Civic Media app. This is a subtle plug.
But I think it's sometimes it's hard for people to be alone with their own thoughts, and that's why we have our headphones on all the time.
Well, I'm not necessarily good at silence. I'm someone who typically, I think I've plugged it before, but on nights where I can't fall asleep, instead of a white noise machine, there's this podcast called Sleep With Me, and it's a guy just droning on in this like very monotone voice, and it's not even him reading anything, it's just him rewatching Game of Thrones and adding his commentary, and it's each episode's about an hour and a half.
Oh my goodness.
But I don't know if I've ever, even in my most like anxiety-ridden, can't turn my brain off nights, I think it's almost always worked as far as putting me to sleep. And so but even the background noise for me is always having music on, having podcast on, something like that, instead of just silence. I have not always been so good at embracing that, but I am getting better on walks of not necessarily having to listen to something. Number 48, buy secondhand.
Love it. Big proponent.
Do you buy almost like more things like clothes? Like, where do you buy secondhand from when you're going to buy secondhand? Do you have any suggestions on?
There are some really good resale stores around. There's one in Wauwatosa. The name escapes me right now, but there are some really nice resale stores. And Goodwill is a wonderful resource.
I feel like we've gotten so used to the convenience of finding exactly what you need with a brand new thing. But I'll ask, like, so much of the brand new stuff is not made very well.
No, the quality is crappy.
Yeah. And so, but it also takes time. Like what you save in money, sometimes you spend in energy and time to be thrifting.
But that can be the thrill of the hunt.
That's true. That's true. Second, a little bit like the first, number 49, buy in person instead of online.
It's hard. Like you said,
it takes time.
It's so easy just to jump online.
There's a thing of when you're trying to find the thing that fits in the right spot.
Right.
You can measure it in your home and you can measure it like this. What does 27 inches look like versus eyeing it in the store? But I will say shopping for clothes in person, because you just can't tell what the material is.
Exactly.
I'm not a big shopper for clothes in the first place. And so that's why I wear leggings every day, which you don't know at home because you can only, even if you're live streaming, you can only see my top. All right. Finally, for today, number 50, learn how to floss properly.
That is not a small thing.
Do you know how to floss properly?
I think I know how to floss properly. It's a matter of taking the time to do it.
And I think, you know, the other thing I have is the water pick.
Which is great. Those things are great.
Which has been great as far as some of the stuff that comes out of your mouth. You're like, oh.
How did that get there?
Didn't get that.
Mm.
But I feel like I recently heard some crowd work on a stand-up routine, and someone was talking to like a dental hygienist, and they were like, how many people don't floss? And she goes, everybody. Or maybe the question was, how many people actually floss? And she goes, nobody. And like, none of us are necessarily very good at this. But
unless you're a dental hygienist.
Unless you're a dental hygienist or maybe a dentist.
Yes.
But
I have a friend who's a dental hygienist who's a great flosser.
Great.
So if you need flossing tips, I'll talk to Mo.
All right. Perfect. All right. Well, when we come back, it's National Bootlegger Day. So going back to the Packers topic, maybe have you heard the one of the red light district in Green Bay? We're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
There's going to be some changes tomorrow. Going to be a brighter day. This time you can't believe me no more.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Police in Albuquerque, New Mexico say a state House candidate who lost his election in November planned drive-by shootings at other lawmakers' homes. Mayor Tim Keller.
I hope personally, too, our legislators can breathe a sigh of relief. They can go back to focusing on the legislative session.
There's relief in sight for California that's still dealing with more heavy rain. CBS's Jared Hill.
The danger of flooding and mudslides in California continues, even with drier days on tap this week. President Biden is now set to tour the damage on the ground Thursday.
Officials in Memphis say police officers involved in the death of a black driver during a traffic stop will be disciplined. CBS's Elise Preston spoke to Tyree Nichols' stepfather, Rodney Wells.
What do you want from Memphis police today?
We need your videos, your body cams, any type of video of the incident released. We want justice. We want the officers to be charged with murder.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Madner with your headlines. Forever chemicals first found in municipalities' drinking water are now showing up in fresh fish pulled from the Great Lakes. A new study in the Environmental Research Journal finds that eating freshwater fish harvested from urban areas 12 times a year can more than triple the level of PFOS in people. PFOS are one of the most well-known and researched compounds of PFAS. PFAS are man-made chemicals used for water and stain-resistant qualities in things like clothing and carpet, nonstick cookware, packaging, and firefighting foam. Governor Evers expected to appoint former state Senator John Urbanbach to lead the parole commission. Democrat announced in December 2021 he wouldn't seek re-election after serving the 27th Senate District for 24 years. Urbanbach can't serve in the role without confirmation unless the chamber votes to reject him. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Glasses high with the best of scotch or rye. Let me hear your highball glasses clinking. Now let's drink a toast to the lad we love the most and the law that started people drinking. Here's to the 18th Amendment. Long may America be dry.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Madner on the board. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, which you can download in your app store, just Google or search for Civic Media. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to it as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, etc. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And I did not know that we had a day to celebrate this, but here we go. It seems, and we're going to bring it back. We're going to talk about it, and then we're going to bring it back to Wisconsin.
Yes.
But today is National Bootleggers Day. And so it's...
We're celebrating bootleggers?
I guess. So according to nationaltoday.com, National Bootleggers Day is celebrated on January 17th every year, and it's a combination of three different things. So it's the start of Prohibition in the U.S., the distillation of Templeton Rye whiskey, and the birthday of Al Capone. I guess today's Al Capone's birthday.
Okay.
And so, but... I guess what makes it interesting is that all these three events are somewhat connected. And so it was the onset of Prohibition that promoted both Capone and farmers in Templeton, Iowa, to distill their own whiskey to sell. And this is how the famous Templeton Rye whiskey was born. And its popularity spread like wildfire during Prohibition. And so much so that it became Al Capone's favorite whiskey. And, you know, I thought this would be interesting to talk about because what month was that we had Cliff Crystal on?
This is quite a few months back. So I think it was over the summer.
Was it over the summer?
Might have been.
I don't know. What is time? So Packers team historian Cliff Crystal joined us on the show, and he was talking about his books and his work as, you know, I think for a lot of people, that sounds like the dream job of being the Packers team historian. But one of the things he referenced on the show, which I had no idea, was Green Bay, the city, kind of disregard for the law when it came to Prohibition and how that bolstered the very early stages of the Green Bay Packers. So I think let's replay some of the story that he told on the show.
There were sections that I really enjoyed researching. Prohibition and the effect that had on the Packers' survival.
Oh,
I mean, in truth,
yeah.
Green Bay wasn't any different than towns like Canton and Rock Island that all lost their team. In fact, it was much smaller. Didn't draw any more fans, really, in those early years. But it was the favorite road trip for just about every team in the league, and that was largely because they didn't necessarily make much money coming to Green Bay, but Green Bay ignored the 18th Amendment. The bars never shut down, and it was at a thriving red light district on the north side of town.
A thriving red light district. And so this brought back to the top of mind because WPR, Joel Schultz over at WPR, kind of retold this story as I just figured we'd tell it again.
I don't think this is common knowledge.
I don't think it's common knowledge either. And I guess to a certain extent, it's not surprising. Like, it's like we've been drinkers in this state. But it's just the blatant disregard of, we're not going to do that.
We're not doing that.
So 13 years Prohibition lasted and, you know, in Wisconsin, specifically in Green Bay, they didn't really want to adhere to that. So during Prohibition, many of the city's saloons were converted into soda establishments that continued to sell alcohol.
Let's go for a sarsaparilla.
And so it turns out that the city's reputation as a beer-loving place also was what, as Chris, as Cliff said, helped the professional football team because so many teams wanted to players wanted to play there or the teams were very excited to play at Green Bay. And so, during this time, like there were some breweries that got busted for selling alcohol but a lot of them had, some of the breweries had arrangements with local taxi companies where the company would deliver their beer to customers in their homes. And so the NFL at that time, I feel like even in our lifetime, my lifetime, but certainly in your lifetime, I know that you're not a big sports ball fan, but you think about what cable television, like how much the NFL has grown in my lifetime and how much of that was fueled by TV deals.
Sure.
And I think I've told the story before as far as, even to this day, there's certain media markets where you can't necessarily get a Packers game, right? But before there was the NFL package and all these ways to watch the games, you know, large parts of the country, like you could only see the team that you could see.
That was local too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so even in the last 40 years, how much the NFL has grown and how valuable all of it is now. But if you think about, when all there was is a radio, like the NFL, the football teams were just with their leather helmets and just like
no pads.
Like a volunteer firefighter squad, right?
Seriously, you look at some of those old pictures and you're not far off.
And so, according to this is also in the article, And Cliff, I don't think Cliff said this on the show, but like apparently the teams kind of scheduled their own games. Like there wasn't even a larger organization that was scheduling the games. It's almost like a club league. And so some would play 13 or 14 games and some would play like no more than like a handful. And so when the Packers joined the league in 1921, so a year after Prohibition, Green Bay was the second smallest city in the NFL. Today, we're definitely the smallest. And some of the then small town teams were located in Ohio cities of Canton, Columbus, right. Dayton, and Akron, which he said. And so by the end of the decade, though, some of those small market teams folded for financial reasons, but not the Packers.
And now we know what it was that kept them going.
And one of the reasons was basically that Green Bay as a city ignored the 18th Amendment. And it was the most popular stop in the NFL, and teams would often try to schedule, since they were scheduling their own games, schedule games to be there for the bustling bar scene and the red light district.
Yes, yeah, and the brothels.
Cue Roxanne. And that, it's so funny because whenever I think of the red light district, I think of Amsterdam. But, I mean, clearly there's still parts of different towns where, if you know what you're looking for, you can get it. But as far as it just being, well, yeah, that's like, everyone just knows. That's where you go. That's where the working ladies are.
But there were sections like that in Milwaukee, too.
Where were they in Milwaukee?
Along the river. If we bring John Gerda back, and we probably should.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he is the historian that I heard talking about this, but oh yes, there were brothels in Milwaukee too.
I mean, I'm sure there was brothels everywhere. Like, the oldest profession, right? But it's so funny to think of what, and that's maybe either a Gerda or a Cliff Crystal question as far as, because prostitution hasn't necessarily gone away, but the district has, you know? And so it's funny to think of what, and it's also funny to think of like, oh, it was down by the river, which now is, you know, very expensive real estate.
And very pricey. Right.
That was where the people got. I thought about this. There is a shanty town in Puerto Rico called La Perla, which now became famous after Despacito, the very popular song from, I think it was 2016, Justin Bieber. And it's a shanty town. It was a part of when the Spanish took over Puerto Rico, the Spanish law was certain people couldn't live inside the city walls. So the city walls of San Juan. And so that's where the outside of city walls is where the cemetery is. It was where slaughterhouses were. And it was also where people of color, like black people had to live and certainly, and then for a long time, and it's still not safe. But it's safer because there's been more efforts. And because of that music video, tourists like me sometimes want to go see it. But you think about it, and it is prime real estate because it's on the water. It's outside of the city walls.
City
but
proper.
It is like right on the water. So it's like, as you say the thing about the river, and that was where you kind of just got pushed, like the
but that's
misfits
where,
got pushed out to.
But that's where the dock workers were. And that's where the ships came in. And so I'm sure you had bars there too. And
it wasn't by Jones Island?
No. Not as I recall. I don't think so, no.
So anyway, so back to the Packers story. So when a Milwaukee Journal reporter came to Green Bay to write a story about the city's disregard for the laws disallowing alcohol consumption, the reporter's conclusion was that, quote, this northern city is by far the wettest spot in Wisconsin. And I just think it's so funny that disregard for alcohol,
for the law,
part of the reason why we still have the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, think about it. Would the team even still be here? Because look at what happened to those teams in Ohio, those little clubs that all, a decade later, while Prohibition was still going on, they were all out of business.
Well, especially because at that point, because Green Bay is now what? Our third biggest? I always forget which order, because Milwaukee is the largest.
Milwaukee,
then
Madison.
And then I forget the order of like Racine, Kenosha, Green Bay, Eau Claire, like what the population is. I think Green Bay is the third biggest now. But at that point, both Superior and Oshkosh were bigger.
Wow.
So it was not nearly, it was not one of our biggest cities back then.
Well, and isn't it funny then, if it was that small, that they divided it down into sides?
I know.
They had a north side, really? Was it that far? Couldn't you see it from your room on the south side?
But it's so, I always think about whenever we talk about prohibition, and I think we're starting to get there, but there hasn't been just, because of course I'm going to bring this back to weed. As we now, it's super decriminalized as far as, but it's not legal. And everyone just kind of, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And in not all parts of Wisconsin, but most cities in Wisconsin just don't take it seriously as far as
just don't make it too egregious.
Yes. And of just the what historical legacy will the prohibition of weed leave us 100 years from now when people look back? Because I'm sure 100 years from now, if the earth is still inhabitable, we will have legal marijuana, considering we're on the precipice of legalizing psychedelics, which seems like it's happening. It's happening in certain states already.
I know.
And so, but it's just to think of stories like this where had prohibition not happened, would the Packers have survived? I don't know. So thus we celebrate National Bootleggers Day.
Why not?
Have you had moonshine?
I have never had moonshine, but when we were in Georgia, we had some really, really, really raw brandy once. It was young.
It was young?
Yeah, like yesterday.
How long is brandy supposed to age for?
Not just a day, I'm pretty sure.
That's not like vodka where you can just mass produce it?
No, this was, you could remove paint. And I'm sure some of that bootleg stuff was.
Well, made people go. So for some people, it made them go blind.
Yeah, it was deadly in some instances too.
But
because you didn't know what you were necessarily getting.
Yeah, but this is a fast. Like I think because I think I said this before. It's also tied to the popularity of fish fries, and taverns needing to stay open and survive prohibition, and how cheap fish was, and how all the Catholics obviously needed to have a fish option. And so, you know, sliding through the laws, if you got your fish, then you got a beer. All right. Well, we're about going to wrap up the show when we come back. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's pro, just as long as there's a throat for what just come off the boat. Three cheers for the red.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 38. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour.
Lows level off around 31 tonight. Cloudy skies. Overcast again tomorrow. High of 35. Mid-30s Thursday with a chance for mixed precipitation. Low 30s cloudy Friday. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Speaking of the expanding empire that is the Civic Media Network, we're officially in Green Bay.
Yay.
WGBW.
In the works for a while.
97.9 FM. I think we're allowed to talk about this now. We should be sending a press release out later today, but we are expanding into Green Bay, and this is a relaunch. So I think what I understand is that WGBW was not on, and so we're back on the airwaves in Green Bay, Fox Valley area. So the station is going to transition from its prior oldies format to news and talk programming that covers local issues of Green Bay, the Fox Valley, and the state of Wisconsin. And we have some friends up in Green Bay, so I am very excited about this development. I know Kristen Lyerly, who's been on the show, who is also makes a lot of appearances on Pat Kreitler's show, Up North News, if you're up that early from 6 to 8. I am up that, well, I'm pretty good at getting up like 6:45, 7. But I don't listen to the show because I'm usually prepping for the show right away. But if you are up that early for Pat's show, Kristen Lyerly is on that show, who's in the Green Bay area. I'm trying to think of who else have we, Christina Shelton, we've had on the show before. But now that we're in Green Bay, we are very open to suggestions of Green Bay topics that we should be talking about.
Yep. What's going on in your city?
And I know, we've talked about, I think some of the housing stuff is up there. But one of the things I also saw a couple weeks back, we talked about the conversation being reignited around a train from Madison to Milwaukee. But then I recently saw that there's a lot of other cities, including Green Bay, that would like to be included in the conversation around train transit and that being an option to connect more of the major hubs of the city. And I'm just trying to imagine if we had a train, because I don't know, have we talked about this? You've been to Lambeau.
I have.
But not recently.
No, it's been a long time.
And I'm assuming that you've never taken one of the Milwaukee area shuttles.
A bus shuttle.
There's a fair amount of establishments in Milwaukee that are bars that organize shuttles to take you up to Green Bay and take you back. I have not been on one of those, but I've heard they are, especially the ride home, boozy.
And long. That can be a long ride home, depending upon the traffic.
Like once you're on the freeway, what's really long is getting out of the neighborhood that Lambeau sits in. But I'm trying to imagine how much easier that would be for all of the major cities that go up and down Lake Michigan, of if there was a train station that how you get to Lambeau instead of a shuttle, instead of having to drive yourself and one of you not drinking or drinking and driving like recklessly and dangerously and illegally, if there was a train that could take you up there. But I'm excited because with this new station, hopefully that means by next season, I can do the show from there.
Oh.
And I don't have to do the calculus of what games I want to go to of like, well, how early do I have to get up to make it back to Waukesha to do my show in time?
No, that's a really good point.
Because I think our studio up there is really close to Lambeau. And so...
Well, then in that instance, I will have to come with you.
Obviously. We have to... And we have tickets. So we may just have to... We may have to do a girls trip. Right after we do... Obviously, this summer, we're going to Amory.
Yeah. It's on my wish list.
But yeah, so very exciting news about Green Bay. Welcome to the family. We are very excited to be there. We're very excited to reach that part of the state. So tell your friends. If you have if you're listening to this now and you have friends in Green Bay who you think would appreciate the civic media programming or As Goes Wisconsin, let them know that they can now tune in, which is very exciting.
It is, because that's a signal that has, as you mentioned, has been dormant for a while. So it's nice to, or well, it was the country, yeah. But it's just nice to be out and back and broadcasting.
Well, and it's also, I feel, you know, I think so often when people ask me, what is civic media, or, you know, the initiative that is happening with these radio stations, and it's so much about bringing community radio back, which is kind of the conversation we had a little bit more so with newspapers with David Haynes yesterday, mm-hmm. and how many of the local newspapers have been acquired by large companies, whether it be Gannett or Lee Enterprises or some of the other big companies. There's less and less that can afford to be locally owned. And it's not so different with radio stations. And the big iHeartRadio or Audacity? It's not Audacity. It's definitely, I think it's Audacy. You know, having control. And ultimately, their bottom line is, if this is not profitable enough, and so then all of a sudden you have a local radio station that is either not so local anymore,
yep,
or not at all.
Yep.
And so I think in this development and this advancement of what civic media is trying to do is bring back community radio and having different radio stations. Well, obviously there's going to be programming like ours and As Goes Wisconsin that airs on all of them, that kind of tries to bring in stories from around the state, but knows that we're talking to a wider audience than just Southeast Wisconsin, but then also having programming that is very specific to your city or region that you feel like you can identify with,
right,
instead of kind of going to the next biggest town over and being like, well, I guess this is kind of news. I guess this is kind of applies to our neck of the woods.
Right. And that's why, too, and we really sincerely mean this, no matter which community you're in, Wisconsin Rapids, Amory, Green Bay, Oshkosh, we really do want to know if there is a nonprofit you would like us to talk mm-hmm. to, or some development that is good or bad, or something going on with, I don't know, some hanky-panky in your city council.
Or school boards.
Or school boards. You know, we really would love to hear from you.
Well, because I also, what I learned so last week with the school board in Waukesha is, that is not a unique story. And so often, whether we're talking about shared revenue, like so many of the things that are happening in individual municipalities, PFAS, which tomorrow we just confirmed, Mayor Katie Rosenberg from Wausau is going to come on and talk yeah. about the water treatment facility that is now actually being able to filter PFAS in the Wausau area, but also at like a very large price tag. And so we're going to have that conversation tomorrow. But yes, we are, to wrap it up, in summation, we were very excited to be in Green Bay, so let your friends who live in that area know. And for us, that'll about do it for us on today's Tuesday edition of As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, unless you're in Wausau listening to WXCO. Then you got the Chad Holmes Show coming up next. But thank you for listening. Thank you to everyone who called and texted. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back tomorrow.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
the manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.